Recorded Books presents Enemy Within, Nocturnus, Book 2, by Devin C. Ford. Narrated by Jay Snyder. Prologue. Shysa. The lights went out, plunging the room into total darkness until a soft red glow filled the void.
Shysa!
Dr. Otto Hess tried to remain calm. He knew there was no way the power supply of their safe house would fail for a reason so innocuous as an outage on the grid or a blown transformer. The only way their power would fail is if someone skilled intended it. He glanced up at the bank of security feed monitors in his lab, showing an infrared view of two dark shapes moving for the main access door. Another shape moved on a different monitor, tall and purposeful, holding two pistols in outstretched hands at the entrance. The door imploded inwards with a shower of white-hot sparks, and the tall black woman covered her eyes involuntarily, allowing the assailants to shoot her without mercy. Hess gently replaced the test tube he held into the centrifuge and peeled off the latex gloves before stepping back a pace and stripping away protective goggles and coveralls. He abandoned the laboratory, abandoned the months of research, grateful for the redundancies of sending the biohazardous samples to other facilities under company control, and walked away. He walked away, stopping only long enough to punch in a 6-digit code into the locking panel. That code began a countdown that Hess spoke aloud as he walked fast along the corridor, starting at 30 and only pausing at 19 when he began to cough. A glance at the air system vent near the ceiling showed a light mist being pumped inside, glowing ominously in the red light. So he covered his mouth and ducked lower as he continued down the hall. In his head, he resumed the count, getting to 11 when he reached the utility room, where he slid a freezer on hidden wheels aside and punched another code into a sunken panel that made the floor drop away. He sat to put his feet through the hole, settled himself, and dropped into the cold water below, still counting in his head as he pulled himself along a metal ladder underneath the safe house. At 3, he gulped in air, closed his eyes, and pinched his nose, then sank below the water to grope with his free hand for the release catch on the round tunnel entrance. At 1, undetectable from beneath the water below, the chlorine trifluoride pumping into the air from hidden steel containers treated with fluorine in every room stopped abruptly. At the same moment, the fire suppression system began to release a fine mist of water from the ceiling of every room. When that silent timer reached 0, the result was as inevitable as the sun's rise and fall, and what came next was still felt by Otto as he clawed his way desperately through the tunnel on welded handholds. Above him, through earth and concrete, through the air gap between water and building, and through the reinforced materials of the safe house itself, he felt the ground shake. That particular gas was so dangerous because it needed no spark of ignition to combust, but oxidized almost all known elements on contact. It set fire to ceramics, concrete, and as the atmosphere inside was filled with moisture, it set fire to the very air. Otto never saw the two shapes he had first witnessed on the surveillance feed. He didn't know how many more there were, and if any had gone inside, but he knew that if any had, they would be immolated in the fires burning at close to 2,500 degrees Celsius, and that was if they had survived the deadly gases unleashed before the flash fire took hold. He tried not to think that his only companion in that safe house was also cremated utterly in the inferno, to leave no trace of her existence. Dr. Otto Hess pulled himself to the end of the tunnel and popped his head up into the last of the breathing gaps as he felt blindly for the release handle that spilled him out into a concrete chamber. He stood, stripped off the wet clothes, and dressed in a dry set before taking the small escape bag, placing thick-rimmed glasses on his face. He checked the details on the German passport of his alternate identity and set off up the ladder toward the relative freedom above ground. He pulled out the cell phone, zipped into the top pouch of his bag, and turned it on, waiting for it to come online before placing a call.
Hola, Costa Paraíso,
came the Spanish-accented response.
Dr. Otto Hess.
He pronounced each word with deliberate care and waited.
Voice ID confirmed. Status?
The voice asked, lapsing back into the true accent of the speaker.
I've had to call in the cleaners, I'm afraid.
Hess
Sample complete. Ready to continue?